Welcome to yet another episode of Deep Fat. What was it?
Fried.
Is it fried?
It's fried.
Oh yeah, there it is, right there on the screen.
Vanilla, no.
Why am I blurry? Why am I fucking stupid?
Maybe
fucking
maybe
piece
you're just
of
pixelated.
Shit.
Maybe.
Fucking camera.
Maybe it's just your face.
Me. You're just blurry.
Maybe
you just
I
look like
am
a
I just blurry in IRL?
Let me put on my Oakleys because these fucking lights today, man.
These and lights
Paul,
today.
Paul
Paul's hungover. He was
course.
Drinking heavily last night. You know how
these
he is.
Lights. I can't.
Paul wasn't drinking heavily, dude. Those are Paul's cop glasses. He's about to ask you how much you've had to drink this evening.
Yeah.
How much you had to drink this evening, sir?
Can you have you had too much to be driving this show, sir?
Probably. I hope so. I don't know. So what do you guys know about, I mean, we're in LA, whatever, Patreon.
Well, you remember the blow
job? Coming to you from the past. No, we're
you remember
present.
The blow job that was happening the last show?
Oh, yeah.
When I said that, like, during that, while they're watching that show, I was getting head from everybody at the meetup.
Yeah, now you've got,
now I'm getting
STDs.
My salad tossed.
Now you're dealing with the STDs.
Yeah, I've got my legs up. Like, all the hot chicks are coming to dine and feast upon my booty right now.
Oh, okay.
Damn,
it's
dude.
Crazy that, you know,
I think you're
the
just,
rest of you aren't there.
I think you're just, you have, like, chlamydia on your dick, and you're gonna be dead. You'll be dead soon.
Whatever. At least I got my salad tossed by
getting,
every hot chick.
Dude, I mean, he's getting his salad tossed. He's getting blown.
I don't think Paul's getting his salad tossed right now. If I had to venture a guess.
Hey, dude, your skepticism doesn't change
the
truth.
How the fuck do you know, TJ?
So anyway, Patreon's down there. Give it to Patreon, blah, blah, blah. So what do you guys know about the fucking satanic panic?
I know it was a time of great moral degradation.
Scotty, you have an embarrassing story you wanted to share.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have an anecdote, TJ.
You have
share.
An anecdote
I don't
story.
Have a story to share. I have an anecdote to share. So
put
TJ,
your mic a little closer to your mouth, Scotty.
Oh. Well, I mean, I'm not practicing putting things close to my mouth like you are, TJ. So sorry about that.
Yeah.
I apologize for that.
Right.
So I can tell my story or not, TJ, or my anecdote.
Go ahead tell your anecdote, Scotty.
Well, if you stop there fucking interrupting me, TJ. So, I think you're about, 12 or 13?
You're older. Yeah, it was probably 13 or 14.
So, me and TJ at the Slidell Mall, and she just like, I really want the Satanic Bible. I'm like, you got money? He's like, yeah. I'm like, do they got it in stock? Yeah. I know exactly where it is because I want to buy it. I'm like, just go buy it. No. Why not? Why don't you want to buy the... You said you want the book. You have the money. Why don't you just buy the book? No, man, like, I just don't, like... I don't feel like it, you know? And I'm like, you just said you wanted to buy it, though. And he's like, man, I'm embarrassed. I don't go to the counter. Guy's gonna judge me. Like, I've seen that guy there a bunch of times before, dude. He's gonna, like, think I'm a Satanist, and it's gonna be weird. Am I gonna get, like, on a list or something? I'm just like,
wow.
Really? And he's like, yeah, I'm not gonna do it. I'm like, I'll do it. He's like, no, you won't. You're not going to do it, man. I'm afraid, dude. You're not going to want to do it. I'm like, give me the money. Okay, so I go, like, I go right to the section with TJ. He's like, yeah, there it is. You're going to buy it? Like, I'm not going to buy it. I'm like, no one's going to give a shit, TJ. I tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the counter and buy it and leave. He's like, okay. But you guys going to roll his eyes and be like, why are you buying this? I'm like, no, I don't think he's going to give a shit. So I'm like, he's like, all right, fine. Go to the counter and buy it. Just go buy the book, dude. No big deal, right? I'm like, okay. So I walk up to the counter. I'm like, I'd like to buy this. Guy's like, okay, scans it. That'll be $8.97, sir. It's like, here's $10. There you go, sir. Have your book. Have a nice day. Okay. Take the money. She just all like, whatever, dude. What fucking ever, man? Like,
dude, you were scared, dude. What a scaredy cat.
Give me the fucking change. I'm like, I'm not giving. Fuck you. I'm keeping the change. Like, it was like a dollar or something. I'm not going to buy a fucking ice cream cone or something. She's like, fuck you guys, bullshit.
I'll tell you what, too. I didn't get over it later in life either, because you know when I had that book, that video where I burned
the Quran, the God delusion.
I made
Bible,
Scotty
right?
buy that for me too, because I was still afraid of being put on the list.
He's like,
the
you know,
list,
yeah,
dude.
I was paranoid,
dude.
Like,
if there is a list, you're definitely on.
I'm already on.
I know,
you know,
right?
I'm already fucking.
So, like, what are you worried about at this point?
I don't know.
She just had like five.
I had the balls to get on camera. In front of thousands of people and burn the fucking thing.
You just didn't want to be seen buying
TJ,
it.
I couldn't stand the judgment of a minimum wage cashier, though.
TJ, you've literally been viewed like we looked at your numbers, like almost half a billion times.
Yeah.
In your life. Those are your video views. I mean, and that doesn't include the private and deleted and all these other videos you've done. Like, so probably about 500 million times.
Right.
And you're worried about buying a fucking book from a fucking minimum wage cashier at Barnes & Noble. Like, they're going to be like, oh, enjoy your Quran, sir. Oh, this is T. Thomas Kirk.
Yeah.
Red put team, him on the go. Watch list right away.
We've got a Quran buyer here. Add him to the list.
CIA, NSA.
Well, in both instances, it was because there was this kind of atmosphere going on of, like, the bad people, you know? Satanic panic of the 80s and the 90s. Like, ooh, the bad people. Yeah, only the bad people
but you know
want
you defeat
the satanic
shit, like,
Bible.
How you really defeat stuff like that
and then
is by,
when I
is
bought
by
the
not
Quran,
paying
it was like, ooh,
it.
The terrorists. They're all, you know, people. There's all these stories on the news about people being radicalized and all this. You know, so.
You know, people worry too much about shit they have no control over. And it's like, it's just so silly that you'd be afraid to buy. Like, we're supposed to live in a free society and you're afraid to buy a book, you know?
So,
I was pretty lucky. Like, I only had one brush with the satanic panic. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so you'd think it would have been a bigger thing. But I lucked out. I only had one brush with it. And it was when it was in the 80s. I think it was like 85 or 86. I was like 6 years old. And I wanted to watch this new cartoon, the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, had just come out. It was terrible.
I mean, it was terrible. But
it's a terrible cartoon, but I wanted to watch it.
But you're
it
was, five.
Right.
So you're
it's like the newest shit, you know? And I remember my mom caught me watching it, and I'll never forget the lecture I got. She turned it off, and she was like, you will not watch that cartoon. You will find another cartoon to watch. And I was like, but why? And she's like, that cartoon is about Dungeons and Dragons, and Dungeons and Dragons is of the devil. It's the way that the devil tries to speak to young people, and he will not be speaking to you in this house. And so I had this whole, like, weird thing for years about the devil trying to talk to me through the TV and shit. Like, there were certain shows that he made to, like, try and trick me.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Isn't that crazy, like, how it, like, I'm just thinking about, like, the mentality you had. It's like, before it's something you was never on your radar.
Right.
But then your mom comes to you and is all like, avoid this. And it's like, your brain's like, what's
now
this?
I know what the devil is. Yeah.
And then, like, you see the devil everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
What's he trying to tell me?
What's he trying... Hey, I'm listening, Satan.
Satan, master, what...
She didn't give a shit about any of the other shit I was watching. All the violent, crazy nonsense I was watching. But that show.
A bunch of good Christians watch movies like Rambo and shit. A movie about wanton slaughter. Your mom'd be like, okay, watch that.
Oh, I watched the fuck out of all those.
That's what I'm saying.
Predator and all that shit. Oh, yeah. She didn't care about that.
The devil gets ya.
The devil show.
A movie where people are
really skinned. That was a good show, guys. Satanic Panic. That pretty much wraps it up.
Yep.
Scotty's anecdote about the books and then Paul's little story there about Dungeons & Dragons. I
think
that's pretty much good for this episode. All right,
cool, man. So we're done?
Yeah, cool.
I guess I got a few more things, actually. So what is the Satanic Panic, for those of you who don't know? It's a moral panic that erupted in the USA in the 1980s and a little bit into the 90s as well. Like most things, its origins are kind of hard to track down completely. I mean, there's obviously analogous events in human history, like, you know, Salem witch trials, the persecution of the Jews, the Red Scare under McCarthy.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, what's up, Paul?
Did you hear about this shit, man?
What happened?
Bill Dunham, I was standing over by the water cooler, you know, Bill Dunham from marketing.
Yeah, well,
he was saying that, like, Satanists are coming to get our children and shit, dude.
What?
Did you hear about this shit?
Whoa.
Did you hear about this shit, TJ? Now,
did you hear about this shit? I did. I did hear about it. I'm going to, you know, so it all started with a book called Michelle Remembers. Have you heard of this book?
No.
Nope.
This is what actually kicked the satanic. I mean, like I said, origin's kind of hard to track down, but
this is like a thing like everyone
if
mentions.
There's a thing that really kicked off the satanic panic of the 1980s. It was this book called Michelle Remembers. This is what the cover looks like. Or
so this is like a common thread of like where this kind of like really starts entering the cultural zeitgeist, what you're saying.
This is when it really began. It's by a Canadian psychiatrist.
Oh, dude. Terrible.
You know, and right now there's a Canadian psychologist spreading equal amounts of dog shit all over the country.
I'm telling you, dude.
So
let the tanks roll over.
Don't trust Canadians, especially don't trust Canadian mental health
professionals. Free ourselves from the tyranny of Canada.
So it was written by Lawrence Pazder. All right? Lawrence Pazder. And it was about the journey of his patient and eventually his wife, Michelle Smith. So right off the bat, it's kind of weird that someone goes from being your patient to being your spouse. I'm pretty sure there's supposed to be like ethical.
There's definite guidelines
against
there.
That sort of thing.
One, that's completely unethical. Two, this just screams like, look at this cover. This is designed to sell shit to bored housewives and fucking people that have nothing better to do with their time but to be busybodies worried about shit that's not going to happen.
The shocking true story of the ultimate evil.
I'm assuming from the cover here, the story is about a little girl who goes to therapy later in life and starts remembering all these horrible satanic rituals that happened to her when she was a little girl.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Here's what happened. It's almost like you read the book.
It was a bestseller, huge selling book. It was the first book written on the subject of satanic ritual abuse. And it's an important part of the controversies beginning in the 1980s regarding satanic ritual abuse, as I mentioned. And the veracity of recovered memory. The book has subsequently been discredited by several investigations, which found no corroboration of the book's events.
How about the investigation stops right here? He married her and then wrote this book.
Others have pointed out that the events in the book are extremely unlikely. No, it's the shocking true story of the ultimate evil.
No, but I mean, like, it's an obvious work. Okay, if you have any intelligence, and I'm sure people who had intelligence and...
Well, let me tell you the fucking backstory.
Critically examined things like these books, knew they were bullshit back then. I'm saying, but this book is an obvious fraud.
Let me tell you about the backstory of this fucking book.
Okay.
Because it's unfucking fathomable.
Sure.
Michelle Smith, who once again would later become Lawrence Pazder's
wife.
Was a patient who came to him to deal with depression because she'd had a miscarriage. In their sessions, Michelle began to tell him that she felt like she had repressed memories of something traumatic.
Oh my God, dude. It just screams a money-making scheme.
Well, hold on, because it gets so much worse.
I'm sorry. It's very hard to be...
I don't blame you, but...
to treat this with any seriousness, but I get what you're saying.
It gets so much worse, though.
All right.
So, like, she goes to him, she says, yeah, I got these repressed memories. So she's put under hypnosis. She spends a total of 600 hours under hypnosis trying to reconstruct memories of what happened to her as a child. In a process that's called recovered memory therapy, or RMT. Now, this is a technique that is widely decried by mainstream mental health associations. It's the same technique that's often used to recover